Now, the Lord really dealt with me on, you saw another little card. I'm sorry, Stephen had printed everything when he got here this morning. That's what celebrative holidays do. But this one, it says greater glory. And it's the first challenge of 2016, the first challenge. I feel like that's what God challenged. He told me that about 2 months ago. He said the first challenge of 2016, the first challenge is to put God first in everything. And so I just want you to take that card, and on the back of it, you begin to list the first that you would like to give to God. Man, whether it's the first hour of praise, first day, whatever it is, you just list. But I felt God spoke this in my spirit. I felt God said, if you'll give me the first, Jerry, I'll cause my glory to come. And so in my personal life, I've already told Elaine that, Elaine, just as many firsts as I can possibly think of, I'm going to give it to God. I'm tired of giving God leftovers, aren't you? I'm just really tired of giving God leftovers, and I want to give God the first. That's why on the first day, this church will be open, and many of us will be here praising God, because I want to give the first to God. And probably at 12:01 that morning, some will be here praising God, because they want to give the first hour to God in praise and worship. And then the Lord's just dealt with me on this. Everything that I can think of in the term of first, I'm determined I'm going to give it to God. Because I tell you what, I need God. Man, I need His power. I need His glory like never before. And I believe Jesus is coming. And so I want to see God's glory manifest itself. So everything that you can think of that can title the first, just make sure God has first place and you give God the first of it. Amen. Pray the first word out your mouth that morning, the first word, many things that you can entitle first to, then go ahead and list that out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some people, you may want to bring your first hour to the Lord of work. I've just determined, I began to tell Elaine, because this has been in my heart. I said 2 months ago. It's really been several months ago. And I told Elaine something. I said, Elaine, I want us to be able to bring our first check to the Lord. Man, that's what I told Elaine several months ago, because I want to bring first everything to God this year. Now, so you just, anything you can entitle first. Now, don't let me be involved with that. You let God, by His Holy Spirit, speak to your heart over what first that you want to make sure it goes to God. But I know this, if you give Him the first fruit, man, the rest of it's going to be blessed for the glory of the Lord. Amen. The Lord really challenged my heart last year when He told that this was going to be a hang-on year, or a year that we're going to have to ride the rapids, really, the Lord explained to me. And I saw it just well in my spirit. I saw this river rapid. I saw this a boat going down the river and trying to keep that thing afloat. And for some of you, it's been a dangerous year. And for some of you, it's been a real year of pressure and trial. But I tell you what, God brought us through. Amen. Amen. So it has been. And because at the same point, what the Lord spoke to my heart last year about it, it said it's going to be like a riding a river rapid all year long. And then He said, but it's going to be exhilarating. And so on one moment, I'm sitting here thinking, Lord, look what You brought us through. And then on the very, I'm so thankful, because let me tell you, I grew last year. I grew. I learned things about God I'd never known before. I learned strategies and way to believe God and trust God like I'd never known before. So I'm so thankful for the year of the rapids. But I tell you what, I'm getting ready for the year of His glory. Can you say amen? Because see, everything changes. Seasons change. God gives you that promise. Seasons change. Whatever you're going through right now, you need to keep telling yourself, this is just a season. Because it really is. It's just a season. I mean, if everything just happening all right for you, it's a season. There'll be some more trials ahead of you. But if this has been a real time of trial, then you got to tell yourself, this is just a season. Because everything is seasonal with God. And just the same, you cannot stop the leaves from coming off of those trees in the fall. And you can't stop leaves from coming on those trees in the spring. Do you understand? God moves in all of that. So God makes everything that you deal with is all seasonal. So what you do, you say, this is just a season, and I'm going to be, I was telling somebody just about 3 days ago, I said, man, don't you let the devil cheat you out of this season. Because I was talking to this person, they kept talking about what wasn't happening and what would. I said, man, this is a season. And there's some good things in this season you need to praise God for. You need to get your mind on the good things that's happening and get your mind off of the things that's not happening. Leave that to the next season, because the next season, God will work that thing out too for the glory of God. Amen. Because it's all just seasonal. So God will change these seasons in our life. He does that. He's the master of the season. And so you just know this season going to change. Somebody says, well, this has been a long season. Yeah, I know it. Well, you could tell Abraham that. Like our Moses. Moses' season was 40 years long. Whoa. But do you know what? Man, when he was 80, man, he was doing things for God. Amen. Don't get caught up in the time of the season. You just realize, I may not can change this thing now, but I'm hooked up with the one that can change everything. And so I'm just going to stay hooked up with God, and I'm just going to watch God change everything in my life. I'm going to watch God. Come on, somebody needs to praise God for that. God's going to change everything. Somebody that's going through a hard time, leap to your feet. Give the Lord a praise. God's going to change everything in my life. God's going to change everything. God's going to change everything. God's going to change everything. Come on, say that out your mouth. God's going to change everything. God's going to change it all for the glory of God. Amen. All right, praise God. I'm going to talk to you today about God's glory. Now, we're going to be talking about this probably a lot this year. We talk about it because I really do believe that this is the year of God's greater glory. But it can be the year of God passing out $1 million bills, but I may be in the wrong line. You understand? I may not get it. And so what happens is it's the Lord's purpose to do certain things for us. And then it's up to me whether I'm going to allow myself to align myself with God to where He can do it. Because it's so important, alignment. I must align myself with God. God tells me His purpose because He knows there's something I need to do in aligning my life up to where I can get that from the Lord. So God loves to do good things for His kids. Man, I tell you what, I don't know what kind of God you serve. I was talking to somebody just about 5 days ago. And they said, why would God cause all the starvation to go on in the world? Why would God be allowing babies to die into those conditions? And immediately I knew that was a person that really didn't know God. They had seen God far off, but they had no idea of Scripture. And they had no idea that God's not that like that. Because immediately when you get a good view of God, you're going to immediately realize there's a bad devil. And that devil is there to steal, kill, and destroy. But praise God, we're serving the one that's come to give us life and life more abundantly. Praise God. So the Lord's going to see us through. And so we just hold on to the Lord. Now we're going to be talking about God's glory. Now, Elaine and Stephen did a wonderful job. I mean, I tell you that Stephen did such a wonderful job last week. And starting off this series, Walking in the Supernatural, talking about the glory of God. He did a wonderful job of explaining it for us. So I'm just going to touch on 9 little things today about God's glory. And I'm not going to be doing a great amount of explanation. I'm just going to touch on 9 thoughts that I felt like the Lord wanted me to help you with and thinking about God's glory and what God wanted to do in His glory. Amen? All right. Praise God. Let's see if I can get back. All right, we're in the series called How to Walk in the Supernatural. Because that's God's natural. The supernatural is. God's natural is supernatural. What that means is God takes the natural and put His super with it. Whatever it is that you got going on in your life, God takes your part, and then God adds His part, which is the powerful part, and God brings it into a supernatural life. Now, it's just real important to know that God is wanting to do these wonderful things. But we have to align ourselves with the supernatural life if I'm going to be able to walk in that. And so we're talking. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about how to come up higher. We're going to talk about coming up higher in the glory of God. How to come up higher. Now, we start off with the invitation that He gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. It said, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. Now, that's an odd statement because God told Moses to come up to Him, in which God had come down. Now, God had come down on the mountain And the people around them, the millions of people, approximately 3 million people, could see God's glory on that mountain. But they immediately didn't understand God. And I hope you're here. I hope that you have a better understanding of God. If you're pointing at God, saying, God, why did you let that happen? I tell you what, you can hear the Holy Spirit whisper in your ear, saying, honey, that wasn't me, but I'm here to work it out. I'm here to help you. Tell you where you can realize that God is that help is that. Well, 3 million people stood around that mountain, and they what they saw was a fearful sight. Man, what they saw is, oh, I can't go. It'll kill me. Moses, you go up and talk to God for us. And so the Lord gives the invitation to Moses. He said, come up. Now, when we begin to understand God's glory, I'm going to do a little bit of rehearsal here for you about what God's glory is. Now, Stephen did such a wonderful job last week of explaining that. But I'm going to put in a little South Arkansas, Hoskin County version for you. God's glory, when God asked, when Moses asked God, he said, God, let me see your glory. God's immediate response was, I will cause my goodness to pass before your face. God's glory, the way God defines his glory, is his goodness. God's glory is anything good that God brings into our life, plus the reasoning behind it. What that means is this. God's glory, anything God does for you, is God's glory. In fact, God up in heaven, taking a step on earth to help you in any kind of way, that's God's glory. But as the glory is revealed, what it also becomes a reasoning behind that. That's why out of the goodness of God, you say, well, God loves me. God cares about me. I mean, there's principles that's involved with the actions that he makes. And so whatever it is, however it is, whether it's a little bit of God, it can come. God's glory can come even as a thought, as the Lord just says, I love you. Or it can come. God's glory can come as you're just reading through the Bible. You get to John 3:16, it says, for God so loved. And you stop a moment and God taps you on the shoulder and says, that's written to you. I love you that much. And God's glory. All of a sudden you've received something from heaven. That's what God's glory is. It's when heaven imparts something into earth with God's reasoning behind it. Wonderful. Now, the problem with God's seeing God's glory is we have a goal. Now, our goal is to get to heaven. Brett said that was already one that signed, sealed, and delivered. How many are thankful that signed, sealed, and delivered? You got your name on the line. Amen. That's my goal in my life. But that's not my mission. My mission, my goal is to get to heaven. My mission is to bring heaven to earth. My whole mission in this world is to allow God to bring something into this earth through me. Your mission in this world is to allow God to bring something from heaven into this earth through you. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, right in the midst of the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Immediately when you realize that God's put us in that unique position, Sister Vanny, to where God wants to do some wonderful things on earth and God wants to do it through me. Or God wants to do some wonderful things to me. Or God wants to do some wonderful things for me. Or God wants to do some wonderful, wonderful things on my behalf. When I can realize that, then I understand then what should be going on here should be what's going on there. For example, in heaven, there is no sickness. Now, I know you may want to blame God for that sickness that you have. You may say, well, he's teaching me something. Well, quit letting him teach you. Let him do something for you. Just let him do something for you. There is no sickness in heaven. So what God wants us to do is to allow his glory to bring healing on earth. If you're sick in body or spirit or soul or anything this morning, you don't have to wonder whether it's God's will to help you. Because it's God's glory to be able to heal you and help you. And that's a wonderful thought. I mean, when you just get that worked into your mind, it will straighten out a lot of your life. When you talk to somebody in their life, well, God didn't let me marry him. You know, God probably didn't have a thing to do with that. The devil probably sent him there. Do you understand? Everything good is from God. It will clarify your life. It will. Then you won't be blaming God. So many times, it's impossible to believe God for healing if you think God put that sickness on you. You can't, because you won't fight God. I mean, if you feel like God wants you to be on poverty row, it's impossible for you to believe to come out of that. If you believe God wants you to stay in that rotten job, it's impossible to believe God's going to give you a better job. Amen. It's when you come to a place to realize that good things are from God. Amen. And the goodness in my life is there to reveal God's glory. See, it's God's purpose that everybody could walk out in the world, or walk out in the night, look up in the sky, and say, look how great God is. Look how wonderful God is. And when they look up into the vast universe and see the stars and the sun and the moon, not at the same time, but they, when they look up and see that, they say, wow, there's a real God. But tell you the truth, the devil has blinded the minds of so many people. They need to see the goodness of God in you. They need to see God doing something so wonderful in your life that they will say, you know what? Man, God really loves you, doesn't he? And then you, with that big old grin on your face, will say, you know what? He sure does. He loves me. I'm going to tell you what. Some of you, the devil has just sold you a bill of goods. And things are not going to change until you stop giving glory to the devil and you start giving glory to God. But the moment that you will quit giving glory to the devil and you will begin to give glory to God, you're going to find just how big God is and how much God wants to do for your life. So my mission then is to bring heaven to earth. Now, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest, the reason he came in a glorious form he did, the reason the Son of God came and was made manifest, this is the Amplified Bible, was to undo, I love this verse, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works of the devil. Somebody just need to jump up and shout a hallelujah if you believe God's going to do that in your life. God's going to do that. I can't do that, but God can do that. The reason God wants to manifest himself in my life today, the reason he wants to manifest his glory, because God wants to undo and destroy and loosen and dissolve the works of the devil. In fact, this is the picture that God wants to use my life to do right there. That rascal that tried to deceive and take away so much from us, in the name of Jesus, the Lord has put him under our feet. Can you say amen? Amen. So the Lord wants to do that so much. Praise God. All right. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 16, it said, and the glory of the Lord settled down. Moses walks up into the glory. Now everybody sees the glory on the mountain. Oh, but I tell you, glory doesn't look like glory if you're not in a right relationship with God. They saw the glory, but they didn't understand the goodness of God. They didn't understand that in that cloud looks so scary, but in that cloud is the goodness of God. And so Moses began to move up into the glory. And the glory of the Lord settled down on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it. Verse 17 says, to the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire. But that's not the way it looked to Moses. Moses began to move up into the very thing that the other people were running and afraid of. The very thing that they were so afraid of that they said, we don't want to do that. Moses said, I can trust God. I'm going to tell you, there's a word to somebody this morning that you can trust God to. The devil's done everything that he can to try to convince you you can't trust God. And worry has settled in on you. In fact, you can't find a hard time sleeping at night. But God wants you to know something. You can trust him. You can trust him. The devil's tried his best to erase that trust out of your mind. But I'm telling you what, you can trust him. You say, Brother Jerry, it's been long in coming. God knows that. God understands that. Amen. All right, now we'll talk about God's greater glory. The Bible says in verse 18, it said, then Moses disappeared into a cloud as he climbed up higher up the mountain. There is a greater glory of God. Now, if I was to try to describe the greater glory of the Lord, I'll do it. Let me run on right here real quick. Then I will. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, for the glory of the first no longer seems to be glory, because the greater glory of that which comes after. What that says, God's glory, God's goodness in our life wants to be so good to where we remember the way it was before. It's like it wasn't even good. Now, to express that, let's take the kingdom of God and let's put it in three different time slots. You can see that. I look back when I think about the people of the Old Testament, how they had to live under those 619 laws. How if they broke one law, and I think, boy, that was a horrible life. That would have been so bad to live back there. But I know that that was God's covenant and God was working it up to something greater. But the glory of that old covenant where God appeared in clouds and smoke. And I'm surprised that believers now that look for the glory of God only to appear like it. Now, God can do anything He wants to do. Now, I've been preaching on this stage, and after I would come off this stage, people would come to me and they'd say, wow, Brother Jerry, did you see that angel that was standing behind you all the time you were preaching? No, but God's glory can manifest any way He wants to. You understand? And other times they say, Brother Jerry, did you see that halo or that cloud that was over you while you was ministering? And no, I didn't. But God can manifest Himself any way He wants to. Amen? But the thing to know is, this glory gets stronger. But now the glory that I'm looking for is not the glory of the Old Testament. I'm not looking for the God that just comes in like a cloud. And I'm not looking for the glory to be one that just fills the temple with smoke and where you can't stand underneath. I'm looking for the God of glory that now lives in me. And when I begin to think about the God that created everything, everything you see, everything you can touch, the great God that created it all, the God that created this vast universe, right in here, buddy. He's right in here. That same glory is in here. The Bible says the glory of the New Testament is this, that God put into earthen vessels what had once been contained in all the world. But God's put it in here, inside of us. Then we can begin to understand a little bit what God wants to do for us. God is a healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's all those wonderful things. He's the God of creation. He walked out on nothing. That's my dad, man. He walked out on nothing and said, phew, phew, and everything. Everything that you can see with the Hubble telescope came out of his dad's mouth. Came out of his mouth. That same God is right in here. Wow. And when you realize that this great God, so powerful and so mighty, now lives inside of us. That's because the New Testament has such a greater glory. When I think about the glory that's in the New Testament, it doesn't even compare to that glory of the Old Testament. Now let me add one to it. What's the glory of heaven going to be? Wow. Wow. Glory of heaven is going to be so good that this glory won't even seem like glory. Mass changes. Tremendous changes in God's great glory. Amen? Amen. So we just come to a place where we say, Lord, I want that glory. I want the glory of God to be manifested in my life. I want to see glory is the manifested presence of God. It's God doing something that's tangible, that's seeable, smellable, fillable. I don't know. But somewhere, the God of glory that's in heaven makes a step into your life in a way is everyone can see. That had to be God. And it causes people to fall in love. See, There was a time where people would walk outside and say, oh, look at the God. And they see through the great stars and all the great universe. But I'll be honest with you, that day's almost over. Everybody walks out now and they say, what sign's that of the zodiac? You know, crazy. But they still need to see God's glory in your life and what's happening there. All right, now there's degrees of glory. Let me just give a little explanation of degrees of glory. All right, I'm going to sign some numbers. All right, 1 degree of glory would be like God of the universe. Let's assign that number 5. All right, then let's say, but we came in together this morning. And when we began to worship and praise God, oh, Ingram, Brett, I love those songs you had. When we began to worship and praise God, the presence of God became more real. Glory level moved up. So let's assign it a 10. Now, about the second time that Ingo began to sing, the beautiful expression of God filling us, I tell you what, I don't know if yours did, but my glory level moved up about 20. You understand? So you got God's glory, or the manifested presence of God. God's manifested presence is everywhere. But where people are seeking it, it begins to increase and become more tangible, or becomes more a part of this world. So in the praise, that's why it's so important in praise. Somebody say, oh, I'll be glad when they get through praising so I can get to thinking in the Word. Then after about 5 minutes of the Word, say, I'll be glad when they get through with this stuff so I can get to eating. Man, you're missing life. You are missing life. Because what you want, see, to realize that we have a part in allowing the glory of God to get stronger and stronger. Now, you may not have felt anything this morning, but how many of you begin to feel and sense the presence of God? Amen. The glory of God increased. Now, if we will continue to do that, what will move into another level of glory, and let's assign it 30, just off ahead. Sign it, the presence of God, 30. And then healings would begin to manifest. And then let's assign it a level, let's say presence of God increased more to a 40. And then all of a sudden somebody says, joyful, my depression is gone. It broke it free. I'm released from that. And then the glory of God continue on. And let's rate it on up there about 100. Where the Bible says everybody there gets healed. Do you understand? That was where Jesus was. So the glory of God manifests. A lot of times people say, why won't God heal me? I know most of the time. Because you're looking for God to walk up and do something to you. Instead of realizing you have an opportunity to crawl up in Daddy's lap and look right up in his face and say, Lord, in the presence of God, I'm just receiving my healing for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. When you realize God's glory comes at different levels, just like what you went through, Sister Vanny. I mean, you fought through all those weeks. But honey, you continued to see God. And you sought God. And God's glory began to manifest more and more in your body. Amen. How many of you have seen that? Quit asking God, God, why don't you do this? Why don't you pay these bills off? Why don't you straighten my wife out? Boy, I've been praying that for about 30 years. That you don't have to give up on that one. And you've been, God, why don't you do all this? That's immature. You don't understand God's glory. And you say, just put on a praise song. Let me find a hand that I can raise. I can get God's glory to come. And you begin to worship God. And the Bible says that God's throne begins to be established, or God's throne literally comes down in the midst of praise and worship. That's why you can be sitting in a building like this, and a person can get healed here, and a person can be extremely sick there and get nothing. That's because Agent A determined, I can get close to God. And they began to move themselves into the very presence of God and God's glory. Immaturity said, why does God have favorites? God hadn't worked out my life. God worked out their life. And some people become so mad you won't even read testimonies. Because you're mad. And because God playing favors, honey. God's not playing favors. God's just trying to get you to move on into His glory. And move on into higher levels of His glory. Amen. So there's greater levels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17 says, "For our present trouble, which is only for a short time." Won't you notice this? Our present trouble. Some of you can't understand why you got trouble. You don't understand. God has not allowed that trouble to destroy you. God has allowed that trouble because He knows that His glory is going to be able to come and manifest in your life. It said, "For our present trouble, which is only for a short time, is working out for us a much greater weight of glory." It's not the will of the Lord that trouble, that difficulty, that loneliness, that hurt, that pain. It's not the will of God that it destroy you. What God believes is that that's going to prompt you to move closer to Him. It's going to prompt you to move to a greater level of His glory. It's going to prompt you to seek Him. It's going to prompt you to seek His faith and move yourself into a place where His glory can heal them all for the glory of God. God wants to use your trouble to let the whole world know how much He loves you. God wants to use your difficulty to let the whole world know that God can be trusted. He's still alive and He's still able to come and help people in their life. Now you can complain about that trouble and you say, "You know, I mean, I've had this ever since I was a kid." I tell you what, that ever since you was a kid, God was wanting to be able to use your life to show everybody how much He loved you. God wants to use your life, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing, whatever lack, God wants to use that to let everybody know God is alive and God can come and God can change things. Amen. Fourth thing. Well, I got to go. I got 14 minutes. Fourth thing. God prepares us through a stronger desire. Now, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. The reason that oppression is there is so that you could find out just how great a healer God is. God wants to manifest His glory in your life. Somebody, if your problem is depression, if your problem is discouragement, if your problem is just mad, whatever it is, God wants to use that to manifest how good He is and how He can change things. Amen? Bob, my question to you is, how much glory do you want? That's the question. Somebody said, "God, why don't you come and help me?" It's not left up to God. Do you understand? It's not left up to God. It's not left up to God. I know you want to feel it is. That takes all responsibility off of you, but it's not left up to God. You have a chance and you have a choice that I can move deeper into the levels of glory. And I'm going to tell you what, I may be on level 5 now. I may can barely feel Him in a praise service. But honey, I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep standing on that word until the glory of God moves into a level where God can come and God can change my life for the glory of God. So we quit blaming God. Amen? Amen. All right, God prepares you through stronger faith. Now, that's real important. God can only do in our lives what our faith will allow Him to do. I want you to stay with me real quick because I want to talk to you about the faith test. What you're going through is just a test. It is a faith test. It's a test whether you will believe God or not. I'll be honest with you. There's some people that just won't believe God. I mean, they can be going through the same problem, same difficulty, but you're just so stubborn to where you want God to be your little penny-ante guy that's going to come. Listen, God wants to use your trouble to move you into a place with Him. And unless you allow that to do that, then you may not take particular. But it's a test. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 20, notice what it says. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. Isn't that a good word? All right, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Do you understand what that says? The less he could see, the stronger his faith would get. The more he seen from the miracle, the more Abraham believed the miracle was happening. Do you understand what that faith does? The next part of that verse said, "And this he brought glory to God." Because his faith grew stronger into trouble. Now, some of you, the devil probably don't have to do nothing but wink or flip a little something at you for you to get all down and not believe that God's going to take care of you. You need to stand up and call the devil a liar and realize, devil, you can do what you want to do, but you can't stop God's miracle from coming to pass in my life. You've got to understand that glory. All right. John chapter 11, verse 4. Notice what it says. But when Jesus heard about it, talking about Lazarus sick, Jesus, this is what he said. Hear what Jesus said. Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Notice what he said. Now that is true, but when we read it, we think it's false. Because Lazarus did die. But notice what he said. It won't end in death. Death's not going to be the end. Because God's got other things in mind. Some of you have no idea what God wants to do in your life. You don't understand why that problem's there. I tell you why that problem's there. The Bible said it happened for the glory of God. Do you understand? That's what Jesus said, speaking about Lazarus' sickness and his problem. He said, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Now, some of you won't even volunteer for the glory of God to receive honor from what you're going through. Honey, get off of that period, that point of discouragement. I don't know what I'm attacking this morning. I didn't come here with an attack on my heart. But there's somebody here that is just so down, and God is trying his best to pick you up. And you've got to quit wrestling with God and realize God knows where you are. He's going to bring you through this thing. He's going to bring change into your life. So you quit accusing God and start praising God and let God do his work in you. Amen. John 11, notice what I said. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you would believe? Do you know what God's telling us today? Jesus, didn't I tell you? Man, didn't I tell you? If he's a bro, he'd say, didn't I tell you, bro? I mean, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? If you believe, you will see my glory. If you would believe, you'll see my goodness. That's what Jesus said. Learn to trust God. Number six. We're prepared for a strong, obedient heart. God's preparing obedience in our life, too. And obedience brings more glory into our life. See, there's a preparation, and we talk about in the book of Esther, that when Esther had such a gloom situation put over her life, I mean, her whole people were going to be killed. But Esther knew something. Notice the words. For if you will keep silent, this is the word to Esther. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Listen what God said to you. If you won't believe God, if you won't trust God, God said, I don't want to. But I'm going to have to step over you and show my glory in somebody else. You understand what the Lord's saying there? If you won't believe me, God said, I'm going to have to go around you because I must show my glory. So we have a choice to whether we're going to believe God, whatever it is that the enemy's attacked in our life, we're going to believe God, or either we're going to cause God to step around us because God's going to show his glory. Do you hear what I'm telling you? There's a world that's dying out here. And God's going to show his glory. And the reason he allowed your problem to exist, because you were chosen by the Lord to show the glory of God. But you have a choice in it, and you can make that decision or not. And then the answer was, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom. You got to begin to say, I was born to defeat this thing. Jimmy, you were born to defeat cancer. You hear me? You were born, Jimmy, to defeat cancer. Jimmy, you were born to defeat cancer. There's some people here that you were born to defeat marriage difficulties that other people couldn't make it through. Some of you were born to defeat drugs in such a manner that will bring such a glory to God that your life won't quit until others are ministered to with that same ministry. Others of you are so lonely, and God has allowed that loneliness because he needed somebody that would believe God. for God to be able to heal the loneliness or to send the right one into your life. God's dependent on you. You just say, I was born for this. And quit saying, I'm running from this. I was born from this. You got to draw your eyeball and eyeball at the devil, the one that's came to steal from you. And you need to say, devil, you can huff and puff all you want to. My house stands secure. Do you understand? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now there's a preparation of obedience that's involved with this. To go into the presence of the king, as far as Esther was, it took 12 months preparation. 6 months being prepared with myrrh. What we fail to realize is what's going on in our life right now is it either preparing us or disqualifying us for a greater glory. What's that mean? Oh, it's not what you failed yesterday on. Honey, God's looking at your life today. I may have fell off that horse yesterday, but I'm going to climb back on that rascal today for the glory of God. You understand? You understand? Esther, 6 months before she could make an entrance into the king. You're talking about making an entrance into the King of Glory. You're talking about the King of Glory coming in your life to where that he will be able to heal, help, whatever needs to be done. Preparation has to be made. For 6 months, she had to prepare herself with myrrh. Now, myrrh speaks many things. It speaks of the anointing. It also speaks of death. It was embalming fluid. You've got to learn to deal with that sadness, and you've got to get victory over that thing. That discouragement that's tried to take you out, you've got to learn. You've got to take that in your private closet, honey, and you've got to get out on your knees before God, and you've got to defeat that thing for the glory of God. 6 months, she'd have to prepare herself with myrrh. Then 6 months, she would prepare herself with perfume. Talking about the fragrance filling the whole house. Do you know how to know that your glory is almost to come? When you can walk in God's house and nobody can tell you still got a problem. I'm telling you that. Where when God, what he's doing in you is so effective and keeps joy in your life to such a point. To where you have refused to believe what you can see. You've chosen to believe what's promised. Amen? Amen. So Romans chapter 9 said, in order to make known all the riches of the glory, God prepared me for his glory. You have been prepared for the glory of God. You've been prepared. God's prepared you. You say, I'm too tired. I'm telling you what God said. God said he prepared you to receive his glory. God did not allow something to overtake you to destroy you. God's allowed something to come into your life where he can show up and be God. The Lord wants to use your life to bring great glory to him. Let me close with this. I got 2 minutes. Hard to tell a story in 2 minutes, isn't it? Let me close with this. Okay, let me see.
Baby's temperature, are getting too low, and she can't develop the milk in her body to nurse the babies or nothing like that.
Oh, that's
cool. Got this during the service and everything.
How many's ready to believe God for a miracle?
He was asking us if we would
let's believe it. Let me see your hand right here. Raise your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you for a miracle of your glory. Lord, you see this that Teshua's babies are facing. Lord, I ask you for a miracle of God. Lord, I ask you first to bring peace in Teshua, Lord. Bring a sudden knowing in her spirit that everything's all right. And then, Lord, we declare to that devil, you cannot have this baby. You have no right. You have no power. That baby belongs to a believer. So we, in the name of Jesus, say that with me. In the name of Jesus, we break the power of this attack off of this baby. Now, Lord, your glory that resides in us. I thank you, Lord, that you're rising up and you're ministering into that need for the glory of God in Jesus' powerful name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering. Now, God's got some of you really set for some wonderful things. God wants to take some of you Davids, and He wants to bring such a glory in your defeat of Goliath that it's going to cause many, many to trust in God through what God's doing. But when David walked in to talk to Saul about his qualifications, this is what David said. David said, "I was a shepherd. I took care of my dad's sheep. The bear came out to steal the sheep. I killed the bear. Then the lion came out. And the lion came out to kill the sheep. I killed the lion. And now I'm shown up here to bring glory to God. I'm fixing to kill Goliath." Now listen to what that does is this. Your private battles prepare you for public glory. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Your private battles are preparing you for public glory. God's got some great Goliaths that He wants to fall. But the way they will fall is in your secret prayer closet where nobody else knows. You're going to kill that bear. And you're going to kill that lion. And you will say, "Lord, You know what's going on in my personal life. You know I wouldn't allow that. I fought it through. But nobody knows about it." God says, "I saw you. I know about it. I saw you kill that bear." Now that word bear, you take it back to its original meaning all the way back into the Hebrew and find it just the message of that word. The word bear means slow flowing words. Many of you, that's your battle. The devil has had a stream of slow flowing words that's flowed into your life all your life. He's told you what you're not, what you can't do, what you'll never be. He's told you can't trust God, you can't trust people, you can't trust. And he's formed all of this in you. I'm going to tell you what. You got to defeat those slow flowing words. For you to be able to defeat that bear, you're going to have to begin to change what you're allowing the devil to tell you. And you're going to have to say, "Devil, shut your mouth." In Jesus' name.